rapidly becoming our favorite segment of the week, not only because Eric's great, but because he brings us wine. It's time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese, 86 Hammond Street in Bangor, right between Massimo's and Fiddlehead Restaurant. Crossroads Beverage Company, located at 66 Main Street in Newport, right behind the Rite Aid, just off the Moosehead Trail. Eric Meehan, welcome back.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm cold.
Jeez.
Cold and cranky.
Yeah. That was a rough one today when my wife came and said, "Hey, so you gonna go and clear that path that you've been putting off for 3 days now because it was a long weekend?" Sure, love to get the postal service up here. Yeah. So I said, "Yeah." That was a rough one.
That's not fun. No,
that's all right.
But you've got something that could perhaps warm the cockles of our heart, as it were, this afternoon.
The cockles of our heart. So yeah, so we're getting back as a reminder to everybody out there. We're talking this month. The message is all about exploring the world of wine on a budget and finding things, finding wines from places in the world that are wonderful stand-ins for some of the more expensive bottles out there. And last week we talked about a Moscato that was very well received by everyone here in the studio, and certainly by a lot of the folks that purchase wines from us. This week I wanted to move on to a white wine that I particularly like from a region that I really wanted to discuss. Because it's a very cool wine region, that being South Africa, one of the newer, older wine regions in the world. And also a great one, I get a lot of folks coming in who need Chardonnay alternatives, and I find that this wine at a great price is a wonderful Chardonnay alternative. And the wine we're talking about is called The Curator, and it is a, as I was suggesting by... it being a Chardonnay stand-in. It's a fuller-bodied wine, really nice, kind of voluptuous. And I'm going to do something kind of fun that hails back to my my early days of watching Night Court. Need to be here. Anyway,
I heard it.
I just unscrewed the bottle, folks, and there's a big stigma with the whole screw cap thing, and I'll address that really, really quickly. Get over it. I know that's a harsh way of saying it, but honestly, most of the wines in the world now, including some very expensive wines, are going with things that are screw cap, glass enclosure, things that are not traditional cork. And the reason for that is because cork, between 5 to 10% of all cork, has something in it called trichloroanisole, TCA. Yeah, it sounds bad, right?
I don't want that. I don't even know what it is.
It basically makes your wine smell like a nasty bilge pump or something like that.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's pretty rotten. And as I said, it's in 5 to 10% of all cork. And if it touches your wine, it doesn't necessarily have to, but it very often will when your wine is corked. And it'll ruin the entire bottle. And if you consider that most wine doesn't need corks in it. It's meant to drink today. Now, today doesn't miss. I mean, today could mean next month. It could be 6 months from now, but not 10 years from now.
Right.
Yeah? And we're talking about producers thinking, why would I want to risk 5 to 10% of my product out there? Why would I want to risk Rich Kimble opening a bottle of my wine saying, wow, that smells awful, and it probably tastes just as awful, so I'm going to maybe steer clear. And what if that was Rich Kimble's first time ever drinking wine? And
all of a sudden, I might not go back.
Rich Kimble doesn't like wine anymore.
Right.
And that's something that we're trying to fight against, something that a lot of the producers are trying to fight against. So that is why, ladies and gentlemen, you are seeing screw caps and other plasticky enclosures, things that are designed to seal and then forget about it.
Well, and I'm a huge proponent of that, only because My skill with the corkscrew is not what it ought to be, and quite often I get the cork chunks floating. That's not good. Nobody wants that.
I find use of corkscrew is much like people being able to drive stick shift now. You know,
yes, it was quaint back in the day,
and now it's like I just go for the easy screw cap or
exactly.
The easy automatic. Being glib, but it's a thing that I encounter all the time that people are really offended that there's no cork wines, especially in the value range, this range of that we were talking about, that sweet spot of $12 to $16. No, they're not going to be anymore, not a lot. And it's I know it sounds like ridiculous, but it's for your own good.
Yes.
You know? So So let's talk about the wine that we have today, and feel free, of course, gentlemen, to try it as well. And remember, we swirl and get those esters going around.
I'm going in a counterclockwise fashion.
Well, this is a Southern Hemisphere wine, so make sure that if you're doing it in the counterclockwise direction, understand that if we were there, I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, listen.
I was buying into it completely.
Just say it in an affirmative baritone, yes, and people will believe anything. Curator White. Curator, meaning someone who takes care of the vines in this particular case. Very interesting region, South Africa. It was, of course, originally colonized by the Dutch East India Company, right, in the 1600s. And the first crush and harvest was in 1659. But, of course, most people in America are just really discovering, maybe you've had a wine from South Africa, maybe a couple, but not a lot. Why? Well, of course, there was this inconvenient political time that you may recall, captured best, of course, in the famed Lethal Weapon movie, Lethal Weapon 2, I believe. But no, it was a very ugly time when apartheid was the rule, and there was many countries that did not have relations, certainly not good trade with South Africa. But there are brilliant vineyards there. In fact, it's one of the best wine countries in the world. It has a very Mediterranean climate, very favorable, very little dangerous sort of precipitations, hails, things like that that can damage.
So that's
harvest.
What you meant by calling it a newer, older wine region.
A newer,
region.
Older wine region. It's something that really is only coming into our radar now, but has, of course, been producing wines forever. And another important thing for South Africa, not to get too boring, but they had, which very often happens in a lot of countries, they tried to protect themselves by forming a big government-backed cooperative, which ended up, you know, regulating prices and really diminishing any creativity. And that, again, with the opening up of the wine region to the rest of the world after the fall of the regimes that supported apartheid, really now you start to see some really brilliant young winemakers finding vineyard sites that are quite stunning. So let's try this. What do we think about this?
This is very good. I like this. And probably this is my own wine ignorance, that I don't think of white wine as having the body, perhaps, of some of the reds. But,
sure.
But this does.
Well, an important thing, and I'm sure we'll visit this many, many times in the Message in the Bottle series, is that with three exceptions that I'm aware of, and they're sort of esoteric peripheral grapes, the grapes that we like to drink, wine made, you know, are all, they have white juice. If you were to cut open a grape, you would see white flesh and white juice when you squeeze it. The wines take on their hue from the pigment in the skins. So you can make what we call a Blanc de Noir, a white from a black, but, you know, from a dark grape, by simply pressing it and removing the skins, and then you just have the white juice. You ferment it, and you got a white. You can make the rosés the same way. You just leave them on the skins a little bit.
Right.
Or you leave them on the skins for a long time and really extract that pigment. And also you will extract tannin, which is on some of the grape skins, and that will give you that sort of dry, I just had a cup of tea sort of sensation that a lot of people find off-putting. And that's, you know, when folks come in, I always try to suss that out. You know, do you like dry wines? When you say dry, do you mean grippy and kind of, or do you mean, you know, not sweet? And
right.
that's an important distinction that you have to, you know, that everybody sort of has to come across. But yeah, no, white wines, sure, they can definitely have body. What I like about this wine as well is that it has a nice acidity to it. Acidity really helps carry the wine through your palate when people talk about, you know, is a wine nice on its own? Is it nice with food? You're really talking about whether or not it creates any sort of tension, and good tension, or if it just kind of meh, it's like, you know, Kool-Aid and it's gone, which is, in my opinion, not good.
Yeah, so, yeah, you want it to stay with you for a while, absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. So, but this is interesting. I just had to share this. This is, so, again, South Africa, like I said, the first main proprietor bought a tremendous amount of land and started the viticulture there, and it was a vineyard called Constancy, and then he passed that on to another gentleman who really grew it. So for about 30 years, the South African wine trade was really doing well, but then it kind of faltered after the death of that gentleman. And you know, a lot of industries sometimes are driven very much by, you know, one courageous individual. But in this case, I just had to let people know that per history, many growers in South Africa gave up on winemaking, choosing instead to plant orchards and alfalfa fields to feed the growing ostrich feather industry.
Okay.
So there you go.
Wow.
Ostrich feathers in the late 1600s, early 1700s proved far more valuable a thing than grapes, which is awfully bizarre to me. But hey, I wasn't there then. I don't know the commodity.
Well, it just shows that we've come to a place that's much more educated, much more understanding of the finer things in life. If I never have another ostrich feather again, I'm just fine.
I'm just wondering what it was used for, like pillows or tickling people.
Yes,
or
that's it.
I have no idea. It was a sex toy thing. Okay, good. Well, there you go.
Oh, not the ostrich feather again, Ramon.
Oh, I know.
No.
God. So, a quick preview of next week before I get out of here, because I have to go trip the light fantastic and hopefully not just trip. My beautiful wife is giving ballroom classes, and I am going to be a stand-in, hopefully not dummy.
You are a Renaissance man, Eric. There's no question.
I try. Yeah, again, hopefully I don't embarrass my wife. It's on. You know, people really, you know, she's a dance teacher, so they think you can dance, and I hate to prove them wrong. But so next week we are going to move into the red wine territory, and we are going to have a delicious wine from southern Spain, a grape called Monastrell. And it's an organic wine, very inexpensive, nice, full-bodied. If people are looking for nice wines to have during these next couple weeks that are still chilly, give us a listen and do write in or call in with any questions. We're happy to answer anything on air that you want. And we are also, by the way, having our monthly tastings at the stores this week. So tomorrow at Bangor Wine and Cheese at 86 Hammond Street in Bangor, from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock, we will be having a wine tasting. And then at Crossroads Beverage on Friday, from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, we will be having a wine tasting. We'll be featuring the same wine, so if you miss one, catch the other. And don't miss them. They are on the third Wednesdays and Fridays of every month.
That sounds fantastic. And, of course, we'll post this segment up on our website as well. Eric will get it up there on the Bangor Wine and Cheese and Crossroads website. And, again, questions, you can email them to us, downtownwithrichkimble@gmail.com, or just post them on Facebook as well, and Eric will do his best to answer them for you.
Promise.
Happy dancing.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese, and Crossroads Beverage Company, 66 Main Street in Newport. It's 535. We'll